Welcome back to the Legally Judgy Podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Alexa.
Alexa, what's going on, my friend?
I need sleep.
Okay.
I'm going to cut to the chase. Okay. I need my fucking sleep.
Do you have some coffee for today?
Yeah, I injected caffeine straight into my veins, actually. So I am ready to go.
Is that what you're sweating
if you
like
if you want to sprint afterward. Okay. Don't mind my gray complexion today. I'm totally fine. This week has been rough for me. There's a lot going on. And generally, but I feel like it wasn't helped by the fact that our next door neighbors moved out. And when they move out, you know, a lot of apartment buildings will renovate.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, I'm happy with our apartment because we got some good insulation.
Okay.
Those boundaries were certainly tested this time. So from like 7 a.m. to like 4 p.m., you can just hear pounding, knocking,
7 a.m.?
Yes, it starts at 7 a.m.
I know. I'm going next door. I'm saying something.
It was terrible.
Sharing my complaints for sure.
So, and the worst part, it wasn't consistent, right? So it would be like, knock, knock, knock. You can adjust to that, right?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm going to expect some knocking. Quiet. Then I'm like, great. I'm going to continue my work, right? Then all of a sudden, bang. And I like literally every time I think I'm having a heart attack. So I have two cats, which you actually forgot about because we
keep them caged up while I'm here.
Yeah, because you're allergic to cats. So at one point, I had one of my cats on my lap and it was quiet. We were all good, right?
Okay.
Then I guess the guys started back up after lunch. Bam, knock. Cat's freaking claws dig into my leg.
Oh, shit.
I scream. The cat digs in more. I'm like, you asshole, get off me. And it's just terrible. So I'm like, you know what? At least I'm going to get some sleep tonight, right? I'm hoping they're done. They're wrapping up.
Uh-huh.
But later that night, my beautiful wife and her allergies kick in. So I'm trying to sleep and I'm just hearing, I love her. Okay. Wife, if you're out there listening, love
if you're
her.
Out there listening,
but she is she sneezing. She's blowing her nose like a trumpet. Again, petite feminine. Love her. Great. But that nose is a powerful nose. I'll tell you that. It is like an elephant playing the trumpet at the same time, right? Like they're just... So I'm like, I give up, right? I have the guys during the day knocking. I have my wife at night sneezing and coughing. So I sleep on the couch. Fantastic. 7 a.m.?
Wow.
Bang, bang, bang. And I'm pretty sure they're Latin because they're not only banging, but they decided to bring in the morning with some singing.
Was it Bad Bunny at least?
I don't know what it was, but no, I don't think it. It was more mariachi, if I must say. It was like, oh, at like 7 a.m. but with like hammering. So that's how I am.
So you had a real good 24-hour period there, huh?
This was much cheaper than therapy. Thank you for asking me how I am.
Wait, there's a bill coming. Don't worry. This shit's not for free.
I realized that was an entire monologue. It wasn't even a conversation.
No.
That was more for me and my soul.
You feel better now?
Actually, yeah. I think I'm going to take a nap now.
Okay, great. See you next week.
How have you been?
So I've been imagining earthquakes.
What?
There have been a few instances where I have been like, there's definitely an earthquake happening right now. And the floor is shaking. And I'm like, holy fuck, it's a big one. And then I'll get in my group chat with some of my friends and mm-hmm. be like, do you guys feel that? And everybody's like, no, what are you talking about?
Okay.
And they go to Google and they validate it. And there's no earthquake. And I'm like, fuck, what is happening?
Is your vertigo kicking up again?
I don't know.
Are you drinking caffeine?
I'm like really stressed out though. And so now when I feel like it's coming, I'll like wait. And I'm like, okay. Is it actually an earthquake? And I just don't know what's going on.
What do you mean
on.
You feel like it's coming? You just feel like the floor vibrating or what?
We have a downstairs neighbor, though, who's like Tasmanian fucking devil. So okay. I think it's him at this point. But there was a good period of time where I was just like, okay, you're now imagining natural disasters that are not happening by any proof of science or anyone else. So
between the two of us, we're in pretty good shape. You're imagining strong. Natural disasters.
Strong start.
At least it's not like a tornado or a tsunami. I don't know what you'd do with that.
I don't know. I don't know that I would react well
so,
to that. So,
just out of curiosity, are you like, what is in school when you're supposed to feel an earthquake? Are you supposed to duck and cover?
You hide in a door frame. Didn't you grow up in California?
No, a door frame isn't where you're supposed to go, actually. Clearly,
you
did not.
For an earthquake, you stand under the door frame. It's the most stable part in a structure.
No, but I thought the door can swing and kill you.
No.
You don't do that.
Idiot. Okay, we're gonna move on. I just can't. I'm done with this.
I'm gonna.
For today.
I'm googling.
Did you even go to? Are you from here?
That's the one where you go under the table.
No, that's a fucking tornado.
I've never been in a tornado. That's wrong. Do you think that a
table is gonna
protect
you from a tornado
from being-
zone? We're moving on.
Wait. So if Dorothy, real quick, if Dorothy would have found a table, none of that shit would have happened to her.
She was in Kansas. I don't know. Kansas is a real crazy place.
We've really diverted. I think I need to look up natural disaster safety regulations after this.
We're screwed.
Okay. Enough about us, clearly.
We're not the only ones who are screwed. Dolce & Gabbana is also screwed.
Maybe. Or Diet Prada.
No, it's got to be D&G. Well, we'll dissect this. By the end of the episode, we will have an idea of who's more screwed than the next.
What's Diet Prada?
So Diet Prada is this Instagram fashion account that was created in 2014 by this guy, Tony Liu and Lindsay Schuyler. Originally, I think they were just browsing kind of fashion photos, and they created the Instagram for fun, to share updates with followers in terms of like what was happening at fashion shows and fashion weeks and, you know, new bags or lines that were coming out. Mm-hmm. And so when they first started, they remained anonymous for 3 years, but they were clearly like sending pictures and videos from fashion shows. So I thought that was always so cool and alluring. Mm. I was definitely very jealous. I actually don't give a fuck about fashion. That's not my jam. Mm-hmm. But it just always seemed so cool that they were at like fashion week and going to Paris and going to Milan and nobody knew who they were. And
so people are looking around suspiciously,
getting all these swag like, bags.
Who is Diet Prada?
I think so. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was a massive account, so I would have been at least curious who these people were if I was the show. But right. So anyways, they started this account. And it's just continued to kind of build up in various fashion ways and senses since then.
And now we know who they are, right? It
we
comes
do.
Out,
we do.
You know, a couple years after that. So you have Tony, who's got a fine arts degree from the School of Art Institute of Chicago. And he ran a menswear brand and worked in fashion. And then Lindsay worked as a designer at an eyewear company. They met when they were working together at the same company.
Right.
And then Diet Prada was born.
Yeah.
They grew a bit, and by a bit, a lot.
Just by millions.
And their IG was initially, like you said, focused on these lighthearted ways of calling out fashion brands and copying one another in old looks. I don't really know much about fashion.
I mean, fashion is just like, it's a recyclable kind of industry.
That's just interesting to me.
Over time, but it was definitely, it felt catty at points in time because they would like put side by sides if like Prada had debuted something 2 years earlier and then, I don't know, Fendi did it 3 years later. Like, they would do a side-by-side next to each other and be like, ooh, did they copy? Or, you know, right. What's going on here? And it was interesting because you definitely – it's an interesting perspective into the fashion industry. But I think, you know, naturally, there are only so many looks that one can do and right. have. And so these things tend to come back around. But, you know, they definitely changed their tone from, like, here's what's happening at Fashion Week to this brand is copying the other brand.
So it becomes – I'm sure a lot of these fashion designers then are probably scared to get called out by them because they don't want to be called copycats. That's,
yeah.
I'd imagine not a very good thing for them.
Probably not.
At the same time, like, let's just call it inspiration, right?
Inspo, hashtag.
Anyway, if you need a lawyer, that's what I would say. And then in 2018, they get more serious. So – yeah, like you said, it's more intensified with the copycat, the calling out of mimicking of styles. But then they start calling out cultural appropriation, lack of diversity at all these various fashion brands and houses. And they start to campaign for integrity, accountability, diversity, everything, right, in the industry.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they've been pretty influential in doing that and getting people or alerting people to kind of issues within the industry. And I think they get these tips from their followers who, like, work at, you know, magazines or fashion brands and obviously have an inside perspective, but then Diet Prada kind of obviously elevates those stories. And so they've really kind of opened people's eyes to some really major issues in the fashion industry. And so this year, I guess that was end of May. I think it started at some point in 2020, but recently, basically, they were the first account or platform that really kind of blasted Alexander Wang for all the sexual assault allegations. And they've definitely called out influencers in the fashion industry who've had, you know, some concerning behaviors, like that Ariel girl who owns Something Navy. She basically went to the Hamptons right after the pandemic started and got a COVID test, like in a drive-through. Not even a drive-through. This doctor came down from
a
building.
Her friend.
She's like in a Mercedes, and he just comes down on the Upper East Side in New York, gives her a test, and she drives to the Hamptons. And of course, people are like, we are also in a pandemic. We don't have that many resources as is. Like,
yeah, I was going to say,
where do you get away with this?
It was at the time during the pandemic, too, when not many people could get access to testing.
Right.
And
right.
I read that her symptoms didn't even match up with COVID symptoms.
Yeah.
But she was like, oh, well, I'm going to get my test anyway.
Right.
Which is not a good look. Like, if you are, be low-key about it. Why are you putting this on social media?
I mean, that's her brand.
So anyway, they call her out. Right. And then racism in Prada and Gucci. I think that's enough said. There's just been a lot of instances of that.
Oh, yeah. Gucci had that whole blackface.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if I was going to let you take the lead on that one. But
you're welcome.
The scarf was insane. When I looked at it, I was like, holy shit.
It wasn't good. And then their response was to hire Dapper Dan, who I love, by the way. But, like, that doesn't fix you doing blackface on clothing. Yeah. So
we fixed it. All done.
We're going to move on past that. But so, yeah, you know, they've really become a voice of, like you said, accountability in the industry. And they put all these things on blast. And their followers can obviously read and respond and decide how they want to interact with these brands going forward. And, you know, they've done this enough where they now have 2.6 million followers, at least as of the last time I checked.
Yeah, and before we leave this, I just want to say that I also saw that a lot of their information, like you said, they're in the industry themselves, so they had access to the information. But as they grew, also their interaction with their own followers grew. Right. So a lot of their tips were coming from the followers themselves. Mm-hmm. Like the Alexander Wang thing, I think somebody had posted it, they reposted it, and they bring awareness, even more awareness, because they have this huge following. Right. Like you said, 2.6 million, that's a powerful number. Yeah. So I feel like they historically have stood for the little guy. They help bring attention to it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, okay, so that's Diet Prada. Dolce & Gabbana. Mm. Okay, so
tell us about them.
I mean, I'm sure most people have heard of Dolce & Gabbana, but let's just, for, you know, making sure we're covering our bases. They're an Italian luxury fashion line. They were founded by Domenico Dolce and Stefano Gabbana in 1985. They have a low estimated revenue of about $1.29 billion.
Casual.
Just in 2017, 2018, that's the last numbers we could find. And everyone will see why this is relevant, but it's reported that up to 30% of this revenue comes from China. You just want to drop that little nugget here. We'll come back to that. So November 2018, they're planning what's supposed to be their biggest fashion show to date in Shanghai. They're calling it The Great Show, because they're not flashy and very modest.
Not at all.
Very modest. So to promote it, they start this campaign called Dolce & Gabbana Loves China, which already sounds a little
It sounds really promising. It's like we're off to a good start here.
So they run an ad, as if that wasn't good enough, called Eat With Your Chopsticks. Hmm. And it's a series of short videos featuring Chinese model Zhuo Ye struggling to eat Italian food. Cannoli, pizza, pasta with a pair of chopsticks, along with a narrator making sexual innuendos about how the food is too big for her.
This poor girl, first of all, probably didn't get to eat any of that fucking food. You know, okay, and I'm not like model shaming or body shaming or anything like that, but you know, when you're doing like 20 takes of that, you're obviously not eating the whole time. So she's probably like taking these little nibbles while they're forcing her to hold a cannoli with chopsticks.
Yeah.
And somebody's like shouting at her inappropriately in the background. And look, I don't get paid enough for this shit.
And for anybody who hasn't seen this or will see it afterward, take a look at, I mean, I don't want to promote it, but it's so ridiculous. So the cannolis are tend to be smaller. You know, you can pick it up, bite it, fine. This cannoli looks like a giant burrito. I mean, it's outlandishly large. So it would be absurd, even if you had a fork and knife, to get through this cannoli. Okay. I want to say, like, you would probably need a chainsaw. So it's so ridiculous and condescending to be like, use chopsticks to take this larger-than-life cannoli and eat it.
Or a slice of pizza with chopsticks.
I mean, anything. It's like, okay, so what are you trying to say? That Chinese people eat everything with chopsticks, no matter what?
Just casual racism.
It's racist, it's sexist, it's misogynistic. I mean, literally the narrator, it's super creepy. I mean, it's not in English originally, but they had like a translation. So I was looking at it and they're like, why can't you grab it? Right. She's struggling. And they're like, is it just too big for you?
Wow.
And so I'm like, that is so misogynistic. It's terrible.
I mean, it's honestly not even a great depiction of Italians either. It's a little tropey. Like, Italians don't only eat pizza, pasta, and cannolis. So I think it was a little tone deaf from both ends. But I guess if you want to be tone deaf about your own culture, Dolce & Gabbana, that's fine. Do you. But then you've now brought in an entire other culture and group of people, and you're making these wild, you know, kind of references about their eating habits and behaviors.
Totally.
But so, to your point, you know, Diet Prada sees the ad. It comments on Dolce & Gabbana's ad and eventually kind of puts it all over their own Instagram account. And so they get, like we said, they have 2.6 million followers. So they get all of this attention, kind of given the followers they have. And people are naturally and, you know, rightfully so outraged by this. And so they flood Dolce & Gabbana's comments right after.
Yeah, and so like you said, the people are upset. And if that's not bad enough, so this Asian model, Michelle Trinovo, posted screenshots, allegedly, of a DM exchange between her and Cabana about the videos. So she's basically calling him out, and he's doubling down. He's defending himself, saying that the video was a tribute to China, says the accusations of racism are fake news. So that tells you his state of mind. Mm. And he insults her, the country of China and Chinese people. I don't want to repeat what he said.
No, it was deplorable. There were some deplorable things said.
Absolutely terrible. I wouldn't repeat it in private. I would just be like, go Google it if you must know.
I mean, okay, there were so many things that I thought as I was reading these. I mean, first of all, he's like trying to bait her and taunt her, and he keeps asking her questions and being like, well, why do you think you're better? And, you know, our people are more superior and blah, 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 blah. And he's going like back and forth. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why are you even having this conversation with a model and one of your followers if mm-hmm. you're trying to say this is like a tribute and this is all fake news? It just didn't really make sense to me, like the position that he was taking and the conversation and the tone that he struck in these DMs.
You can't have it both ways, right? You're saying you love China, you respect the people, but then you're saying all this, you're saying terrible things about it. Like, again, I don't want to get too into it, but he's using the poop emoji to describe China and the Chinese people. So that gives you an idea of what he was trying to call them, and accusing them of just terrible stereotypes. And the whole time she has a pretty good rapport. She's saying, you know, she approached him like, hey, this came off very racist. Mm-hmm. Why don't you think it was racist? Mm-hmm. So I think she was trying to have this conversation to try to bring to light the things, and he just wasn't having it.
Right.
And apparently she was a friend, I want to say. I have seen a couple reports say that. I don't know if that's true, but I'm saying that because I think perhaps that's why he did engage with her.
Oh, he's horrible. Well, so Diet Prada somehow gets a hold of these DMs and reposts all these screenshots. So people kind of, the outrage continues to grow, really. And so the posts, I mean, both the DMs and the ad went viral really quickly. And somebody started, or, you know, people started this hashtag boycott Dolce trend that really spread fast between like Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It was really everywhere, and I remember seeing it like in every other post at a certain point in time.
And it was, I was gonna say, it's because she screenshotted it, posted it, and maybe Diet Prada follows her, or she sent it to them to repost. I think she was trying to bring attention, but important to note because she was the one that first made it public, and then they just reshared it.
Right. And so Dolce & Gabbana quickly releases a statement, obviously, that they're basically saying that both D&G's official Instagram and Gabbana's personal Instagram were hacked.
Yeah.
So, you know, of course, it's temporarily they take the Instagram accounts offline. Mm-hmm. And said their lawyers were looking into it naturally.
Yeah, that's what we do in our off time. My favorite thing, though, is like, I don't know if this came before or after their accounts went offline and came back online, or if it was before they went offline completely, but Gabbana reposts those DMs and says, not me.
Who was doing this guy's PR? Dear God, I'm sure they were like, please talk me off the ledge. I'm done. It's over.
This goes to people we would hate to represent, right? This is not helping. When you're reposting the racist shit you said, you could just say, don't repeat
just
it.
Don't repost it. How about that?
People are going to repost you saying, not me.
It's also like, it's not even a professional
what
statement.
What a defense.
Like, how would you just say, we're so sorry, we don't know what happened, we were hacked, allegedly, like, we're looking into it. Why do you repost the screenshot so that it can be more, like, even more widely circulated?
I almost wish I was a criminal lawyer, and then I could just tell my clients, just say not me on the stand.
Just
go not me. That's a shoo-in. The judge will go for it every time.
Idiots. I also love when people, like, call out hacked. Like, how often is that ever the case?
Right.
How often are people actually hacking your Instagram and then, who would be inclined to hack it and have that conversation?
And wouldn't you think Mr. Dolce would have gotten hacked too if we're going to ring in all three, right? You got the Dolce & Gabbana official account, you got Gabbana, and you have Dolce's account. Why don't you just go all three? It's, like, very convenient that it's just Gabbana's.
Just Gabbana.
And then Dolce & Gabbana's official account.
Just Gabbana.
Just Gabbana. So the good people that they are, they later post an apology video, like Mr. Dolce and Mr. Gabbana in the flesh, in this crazy, they're like sitting in like at a long table, it's kind of dark. They say, we love your culture and we certainly have much to learn. That is why we are sorry if we made mistakes in the way we expressed ourselves. And they finish the video by saying sorry in Chinese.
It's so ridiculous. Like, who had that fucking idea. They kinda fire them now.
They kind of look at each other too, because I feel like they're trying to get the timing right. They side eye each other. They're like, now, and then they say sorry. And
it's like just Burger King's dumbass tweet last week where they're like, women should be in the kitchen.
Belong in the kitchen. Yeah.
The next one is like, only if they want to be.
Right.
Okay. Fire them.
And I'm just like, oh my God. I wanted to go in on them, but I need to calm down. There's just so much to say. It's important to note that the apology only addressed the ad, not the DMs. Right. No mention of the DMs because, of course, it wasn't him, I guess. I don't know. But I'm just saying, like, if you were really sorry, you probably would say, I'm really sorry about the DMs. I got hacked. It was unfortunate. Acknowledge it somehow, even if you're not taking blame for it. You could still address it because those were terrible things that were said in the DMs.
They also, the if in the middle of the statement, that is why we're sorry if we made mistakes. You did make a mistake. People have told you. People who are from that group and that culture have told you they were offended. So just say that you're sorry. There's no need for the qualifier on it.
Yeah. I'm sorry if my racist rant hurt your feelings. Right. But if it didn't hurt your feelings, then I'm not sorry.
Then come buy some Dolce. Peace out.
You want some chopsticks and cannolis? This is what we're selling.
I mean, the video was also terrible. Gabbana looks like he is literally being held at gunpoint and like he doesn't give a fuck. Old guy is like leaned back in the chair, stiff face.
Looking around.
Barely talking, Lord. Like whispering. I'm like, bro.
I think that
nobody made you do this.
They definitely nailed him down. Like, you can't see, like, their bottom half, right? They're just at the, like, I bet there was, like, two interns just holding his legs down, being like, come on, no, don't move, come on, come on.
That's horrible. Well, it was already too late. The sorry video was useless. Basically, a bunch of models and guests end up pulling out of the show, which is, as a reminder, happening the next day in Shanghai, which is quite a travesty, and that's really hard to bounce back from when you're planning an event at that scale, because, you know, hundreds and thousands of people go to this thing or are part of the planning and
are employed by it.
Right. There's a lot that goes into it. And the company's brand ambassador in China also cut ties with the company the same exact day. Mm-hmm. And so all of this kind of quickly leads to the cancellation of the show. And some sources even said that they didn't actually cancel it, but that the Chinese government blocked the show from happening. And, you know, they were just also so outraged by everything that was going on. There was really no choice for Dolce & Gabbana.
Yeah, and then they also lost various brand partnerships. Kim K, Cardi B, huge online retailers pulled all of their products. Alibaba, JD.com, which for anybody who's a little, you know, unfamiliar with those companies, think Amazon and Walmart's of China after this happened. And they had a massive drop in purchases around that time.
And I mean, it's worth noting that this was certainly not the first time they had been in hot water. I mean, probably very unsurprisingly, because I feel like when you go out and say and do things like that, this is probably not your first dabble in.
Right. Before this, they were progressives and championing BLM. And then all of a sudden we took a turn.
Donating.
Yeah.
Getting, you know, various diverse designers. No. So at some point, they were charged with fraud and tax evasion, and they ended up owing 270 million euros in fines. Mm. Originally, they were actually sentenced to 18 months in jail, which is...
I would have loved that for them.
It was really harsh.
I would have loved that for them, though. Imagine.
Somehow it got overturned, and they just had to pay the fine, so...
Yeah, and then in 2007, they run an ad that portrays and seemingly glorifies sexual violence against women. That's all we're going to say about it, but it is a pretty disgusting ad. And it's actually banned in Spain. Mm-hmm. They, instead of, again, taking accountability for this, Dolce & Gabbana responded with, "Spaniards were a bit backwards," which is always a nice response to people saying, like, hey, this ad makes me uncomfortable because of the way it depicts the men and one woman in this ad. That's all I'm going to say.
They're angels. We're going to move on.
They're also pretty homophobic. And before you ask, yes, they're gay. in a 2015 interview, they said that they opposed gay adoption. Dolce said children of same-sex couples conceived through artificial insemination are synthetic. And like I said, they are gay. They were together until their 2013 split. But Gabbana rejects the label gay because he's simply a man and doesn't want to be identified by his sexual choices.
It sounds like he's actually quite repressed in a lot of ways. He's almost like the Ben Carson of gays, if I could put a term to it.
Right.
So you don't love yourself is really what you're telling me.
Totally.
I should get you a therapist, my friend.
I know. He said some comment about like people who need labels or like, I mean, he didn't say weak, but that's kind of the idea I got. And I'm like, you just labeled yourself as a man. Fucking weak ass man then. Okay. I can't. Anyway.
Well, also the last thing, the last atrocious thing they did. So they basically called out this Instagram influencer and they called her vulgar for wearing a Dior wedding dress. I'm like, why do you care about this? Like, what are you doing in your free time?
Did the wedding dress cover up her lady bits, or is that why it was?
It was actually a beautiful wedding dress. Okay. You should look it up. I really enjoyed it.
I'm just wondering if it was truly vulgar or if Dior is vulgar.
Who's vulgar is Gabbana, clearly. But so after all this, between the ad and the DMs, everybody canceling, people like Diet Prada are kind of calling these things out and bringing attention to their shady history. I think it's a little dicey. And so consumers are definitely in this position of power. And so, like, is it necessarily pressing news? No, there's obviously things happening across the globe that are far more important than, you know, this brand being a bunch of fuck-ups. But, you know, consumers are entitled to know these things so that they can decide what brands they want to buy from and, like, whether these people align with their values. Because I do think that's the tone that, thankfully, society is shifting towards. We want to, you know, hold people accountable for the things that are said and done if we're going to put our money behind them.
I mean, it's funny. It reminds me of Devil Wears Prada, where they kind of like belittle fashion. And then she's like, no, fashion's everything. I'm like, it is the rhetoric and the way that we feel, the way clothes make us feel. We don't want to glorify brands and people. And we're holding them accountable. That's just my own little thing. And I think it's good in part what Diet Prada is doing. They have taken on some criticism. Some people equate them with cancel culture now. And maybe it can go too far. But I think that it's holding a lot of these brands accountable in ways that they probably weren't able to do prior to social media. And so it's not personal. It's not like they're just singling out Dolce & Gabbana, although it's good that they are. But this is being applied to everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody. And unbeknownst to most of the public, in early 2019, Dolce & Gabbana actually brings a suit against Diet Prada for defamation in Milan, Italy. They're basically trying to say that when Diet Prada reposted, Dolce & Gabbana's anti-Asian ad and the DMs that he had with that model, that caused them to lose tons of business and led to them actually being bullied on Instagram, the poor guys.
Be so hard in your mansion reading comments.
Bullied.
On your private jet.
The model was so nice again. Like, I just have to say, that's bullying to her. She was like, I think that was racist. Right. Oh my God. Bullying. So allegedly they tried to do a private settlement, mediation initially, but it didn't work out.
I mean, good for Diet Prada. I'm not settling over that shit. I'm republishing comments, but I mean, to take it a step further, they have now asked for over €500 million in euros. Precisely, it's more than $600 million in US dollars. So, like, we'll frame it that way. But a quick breakdown. So they said approximately €3 million in damages for Dolce & Gabbana, the company, and then a separate €1 million in damages for Gabbana himself, because he's a gem.
He was bullied, Nicole.
€450 million to restore the brand's image. €8.6 million for cancellation of the Shanghai show. Another €8.6 million for staff expenditures. And then €89.6 million for lost Asia sales from November 2018 to March 2019. Honestly, just throw everything in there.
Right. Hurt feelings.
Give us your Honda. We'll take your fake bags. Whatever you've got, just send it over. Thank you.
They should have sued Dior, too. I mean, those vulgar bastards. For the vulgar wedding dress. Yeah, just for emotional distress. Okay.
We'll see your next door neighbors, too.
Yeah, please. Okay, so legal charges. Let's get into it. So there's a lot going on. Let's tackle defamation. Okay. Generally, defamation is the damaging of someone's reputation through things that are said or published or whatever. Again, they filed suit in Italy, in Milan. So it's a little different than in the U.S. We'll get into that. But in Italy, defamation is the act of injuring someone's reputation by way of communication to people. Mm-hmm. And like in the U.S., they consider different factors when they're figuring out, okay, well, does this rise to the level of defamation and are you owed damages as a result? So Italy will consider whether the statement was true. In the U.S., again, we'll get into it, that's a full stop defense.
Right.
But not in Italy. They also consider social utility and restraint. So basically, they expect information to be shared in a civilized way. that doesn't violate minimum dignity that humans are entitled to.
That's insane.
Whatever that means.
What it, okay, go ahead. Sorry.
No, whatever that means. So they'll also consider the medium. So they'll take press and social media more seriously, actually. Quite the opposite in the U.S.
Well, so and what Dolce & Gabbana is saying, that, I mean, they're essentially arguing that because Diet Prada posted the ad in DMs to their Instagram account, and given the number of followers and the fact that it's on Instagram, that this injured their reputation, not only in Italy, but internationally. And so they're trying to use data showing like this decline in their sales and decline in followers. And I don't know how you prove decline in brand image, but fine. They're trying to find some data around that to show that basically these publications did injure them. And it's not necessarily causal. It definitely feels like a real stretch in their argument to say that they lost millions of euros in sales off of this, what, 2 Instagram posts realistically. Mm-hmm. But again, they're arguing that because Instagram extends to so many people that it was, you know, maybe more harmful than I guess if it had been like in a newspaper in the US or something to that extent.
Whatever. Not buying it, clearly. Mm. So Diet Prada's defense. As I mentioned, truth in the US is an absolute defense, right? Freedom of speech, you get to say whatever you want, and it's not defaming if the person did what you're saying they did. But in Italy, truth is a key factor among other factors that the courts are going to consider. So they're going to even consider tone and whether the statements are in the public interest.
Right, but in the public interest part, I mean, Diet Prada is claiming they're covering the news, and you know they're just using colorful and provocative tone because it's Instagram, and given, I think, the content, mm-hmm. they felt like they were rightfully kind of able to speak on that in a way that's not necessarily like you're going to see on CNN or in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense given their history and kind of their past posts and the medium that they're using to share news. Like nobody's, I mean, I guess if you go to like WAPO's, you know, Instagram, maybe it's covered in a more serious way, but that's not Diet Prada's brand or the way that they share these news, this news. But they're also trying to say that their use of Instagram isn't different from how Gabbana uses his. I mean, he is always trolling people and commenting aggressively. So it's like, again, the bully now calling out the victim.
Yeah, it's only okay when he does it, but if it's done to him. I think it reminded me of, I think, was it Selena Gomez that he commented on her Instagram? He's like, ugly.
I don't remember.
To address. I think it was Selena. And I think all he said was ugly. And so I'm just like, so that's Diet Prada's point, right? We're using not any different, except I think it's less, I don't think it's as bad as his words. Yeah. I think he's really mean about it, but that's just me.
Well, so, I mean, case law, I guess, which I promise this is going to be brief, but basically in the past, Italian courts have found that offensive comments on a personal Facebook page can be considered defamatory, and they think it's because of like the broad diffusion of this content. So it's really, I mean, Facebook and Instagram are basically one and the same at this point.
Pretty easily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so in the past, it's actually resulted in criminal sanctions and compensation orders where like people's defenses have been less successful, essentially.
Man, don't go to Italy and talk smack. No. That's the lesson right here.
Guess not.
They're also being charged with illegal publication of those DMs. Diet Prada's defense, twofold, lack of confidentiality given the medium. The reposts were made in the DMs, yes, but they were made public by the model first.
Right.
Again, a lot of this, we have to do some more digging into if we really wanted to get into all this, but that seems to be what the claim is there. And then the other part of this illegal posting is that I think it seems to be resting on some sort of copyright infringement claim, because in looking at one of the court briefings that I was able to get a hold of, there was a bit about how Dolce & Gabbana apparently are claiming authorial rights, so like their right to author the DMs themselves. So the defense on Diet Prada's part is lack of originality, because the copyright will only protect original creative expressions. Mm-hmm. So like, for example, a grocery list, that's not copyrightable. Right. It's not original enough.
I mean, I think they've also had a number of other arguments they can use here. I think fair use would be a great one, which is basically them saying that they're reporting. This is, again, a matter of public and consumer interest. And I think that from what little I kind of could gather, they could say joint copyright. I mean, this was a two-person conversation. I mean, yes, Gabbana talks to himself quite frequently, I think, but he was...
in his own DMs, trolling himself.
Yeah, but he was talking to somebody else. So I think there's an argument that she owns half of that conversation as well because she's a part of it. So I think there's a real good argument here that she's also entitled to distribute and share those messages because she was in that conversation.
And right under, again, this is probably influenced by more of our knowledge of U.S. copyright, but if it's any more similar to part of what Italy has, if both people contribute to the copyright, you don't need the other one's permission right. to distribute. So that could be a defense.
Right.
We'll see.
Well, so to Alexa's point, the two claims basically were the defamation and then this illegal publication of the DMs. But then there's some really other kind of interesting factors to consider here. I think one is the jurisdiction. And so as Alexa mentioned, they brought this, you know, case or the filing in Milan, Italy. But similar to like what we discussed in the Sofia Vergara episode, jurisdiction is super complicated, but it basically refers to whether a particular court really has the power or the ability to hear a case and issue any like orders or judgments on that matter. And so usually jurisdiction is determined by where a person lives or where their company operates or where events in question, you know, may have occurred. And so here, Dolce & Gabbana, yes, it's in Italy, but Diet Prod is based completely in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And this whole thing really unfolded from something that happened in China. So bringing it in Italy doesn't necessarily make the most sense in my mind.
I have to agree. And I think Diet Prada's counsel agrees too, because they're accusing Dolce & Gabbana of illegal forum shopping, which I think we also talked about in the Sofia Vergara episode. But basically, forum shopping refers to the fact that multiple courts can have jurisdiction over your issue, and validly so. But there are times when they won't, and the person knows they have an advantage in a different jurisdiction because the laws are more favorable.
Right.
So I think that's what's happening here. I think that that Dolce and Gabbana are trying to take advantage, sue where laws are more favorable, because like we said, the defamation laws there aren't as, I think, good as the U.S. laws in this case.
Because here we've got the full stop of truth. And so if it's happened, yeah. like, that's it. There's no defamation. But to your yeah. point, there's all these other factors that they're looking at, which, you know, frankly, should be irrelevant to the case at hand. But I think because they've got these other pieces that weigh in, you know, Dolce & Gabbana has a reason to want to bring it in Italy versus in China, where they're not, you know, being looked at so favorably, or in the U.S. where it would just be done.
Right. And the Fashion Law Institute has called out Dolce & Gabbana for this and has said that. So they're saying this should have been brought in the U.S., like you said, or China even, where the fallout happened, mm-hmm. right? Especially because Diet Prada's membership or their followers, they're mainly in the U.S.
right.
too. So
yeah.
it's a lot of the stuff that's happening with Diet Prada in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, accused of forum shopping because they want those more favorable laws. I also think that they are looking for a home court advantage. It's convenient for them to be in Italy, whereas, you know, Tony and Lindsay, the Diet Prada, the people behind Diet Prada, they live in the U.S. So that could get expensive even and inconvenient to have to travel to Milan
mm-hmm.
from the U.S. for these court appearances.
Mm-hmm.
So let's make this expensive for them.
And I mean, I think even more than that, we learned that defamation is a civil and a criminal issue in Italy. And so in the U.S., it's just civil. So, you know, you're often just left paying fines, or like maybe they make you stop what, you know, through what's called an injunction. But in Italy, you can actually go to jail for these things. So the punishment or like the consequence of this in the fallout could be far more devastating and, you know, kind of impactful for Diet Prada and Tony and Lindsay than it would be if they were in the U.S. And then, like we said, you know, similarly, Italy kind of has the truth as a defense to defamation.
Mm-hmm.
But they also take into account these irrelevant things like tone, whether the statements are in the public interest. So, again, it's really just to all drive home that the law in Italy is far more aggressive and difficult for a claim or, you know, case like this than it would be in the U.S. And so it seems natural, although, you know, kind of devastating that Dolce & Gabbana would have chosen Milan to bring the case.
Yeah, and I think we both agree that if this case were to be brought into the U.S., I think Diet Prada would have a very good defense. You know, in the U.S., like we said, it's a four-factor test. We don't need to get into it, but one of the factors we want to highlight is that you have to, in order to be guilty of defamation, your fault has to amount to at least negligence. Negligence here would be the failure to use reasonable care. So what that means here practically is that Diet Prada would have to feel like there's no way that the model's DMs were true. And I don't think that they could be accused of that, because the model herself shared it. It looked and it was Gabbana's account. He just said he was hacked.
Yeah. Well, I think all this kind of amounts to, again, this huge number of money, this massive sum that they're asking for, which is more than $600 million in USD.
Right.
So damages they're complicated, but they're basically just financial compensation given to the party that's harmed. And so there are different types here, but it seems like Dolce & Gabbana is just asking for compensatory damages, which really just means you're compensating somebody based on harm or a loss or, you know, something that has to be proven, though. So you really need some kind of bills or evidence to show that damages are due to you. And I think even if the court agrees with Dolce & Gabbana here, they won't necessarily get all the money that they're asking for, because they really, again, have to prove that harm. And that diet product caused that harm specifically. So it's going to be really hard to show that all of this loss in sales was solely due to, you know, diet product versus the racist ad versus, you know, other people posting about these things and it all kind of piling up on top of each other.
Yeah, diet product wasn't the only one bringing attention to this.
Yeah.
So the morality of things. Usually we wouldn't bring in law for morality, but here I think it's really important to note that in the U.S. there are things called slap lawsuits, and they're really made for stopping the public from participating and commenting on things that are in the public interest. They're commonly used to intimidate and silence critics through expensive and frivolous lawsuits. And in the majority of states in the U.S., we have anti-slap laws, which can prevent this. It really allows people to rely on their First Amendment rights and get the court to dismiss the case before you have to spend a bunch of money on the trial itself. And it really goes to protecting news reporting and journalists, even sometimes private individuals, from groundless defamation cases. Because you could imagine, that's I think what's happening here, is you have very rich, powerful people who don't want to be criticized, who want to protect their interests. And so that if any person, especially a person who has less resources, calls them out, you can tie them up in costly litigation and outspend them, regardless of whether the claims are valid or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where do things stand now?
Well, so Dolce & Gabbana has reportedly closed a number of their stores in China. It's been reported that their revenue was actually up 5% to $1.4 billion in 2019. So
what a bad loss.
Unsure how they're getting $600 million in losses. But yeah, they're not doing so hot on the storefront.
Yeah, and it's important to note that, like we briefly mentioned, this court case was brought in 2019, but it actually wasn't made public until this month, March 2021. And so we don't really know why they became public about it, but if we had to guess, I think they want to draw attention to this. I think they want to say, hey, everybody, know what we want to bring to light, what Dolce & Gabbana is doing to us. As we said, they're arguing freedom of speech. They're being defended by the Fordham Law School's pro bono clinic at the Fashion Law Institute and this Italian firm that's agreed to rep them at a reduced rate. They've started a GoFundMe to raise money for their legal defense. As of March 10th, they've raised $49,000 of $51,000. So that's pretty good. And they said that they're going to donate the excess money to a cause of their choice.
Right. And I mean, I think there's enough also going on to your point of why announcing now in the world. Obviously, there has been this, you know, current rise in violence and hate crimes being committed against the Asian community. And it's worth noting, I don't think we said before, that Tony is actually an Asian man. So I'm sure this, you know, issue actually hits really close to home for him. And I mean, without getting super political, it's our view, at least, that this was largely kind of brought on by Trump and his anti-Asian rhetoric, really in the age of, like, COVID and calling COVID some really nasty things that I'm not going to repeat. And so I think they want to bring attention to this. And so Tony and Lindsay released a statement recently where they're basically saying that things are only getting worse and they're going to continue to get worse if they don't take a stand against this. And I mean, sadly, you know, in the past week, we've obviously seen that incident happen in Atlanta. So I think Diet Prada rightfully is being really vocal and speaking up against what's happening nationally in the U.S., but also internationally, and how the ad and DMs really kind of feed into all of that rhetoric and what's happening across the globe.
And I think it's important because memories are short, right? When all this happened, like we said, a lot of people try to distance themselves from Dolce & Gabbana, you know, celebrities, stylists vowing not to wear Dolce ever again. But in recent months, a number of celebrities are wearing them again. Kardashians, Mindy Kaling, Lupita Nyong'o, Sofia Vergara, Kate Middleton. I mean, you know, like, come on, guys, this is real. Like, this hurts people, imagery and all this.
I mean, it's also hurt that model. I mean, she's recently, the model who was in the ad, to be clear, she's spoken out and basically said that her career has been completely ruined by being a part of this ad. She got a lot of hate from people saying that she basically, like, used and embarrassed her country to further her own career. And she's already apologized for her part in the ad and said that she really, you know, of course, never meant to disrespect anybody. And she just saw this as an opportunity to launch her career with a huge brand. And so I imagine she was in a really tough position at that point in time, but also still now, and trying to figure out how do you move past that to still have any type of international modeling career. And again, you know, models don't know what they're walking into when they come to the set. They're just being told, like, be here at this time. Obviously, we'll give you clothes. We're going to tell you exactly what to do and what pictures to take. And so, you know, she said that she was uncomfortable during the shoot, but was really just doing what she was directed to do. So, you know, of course, there are people who are understanding, but then there are also people who are completely vilifying her.
Right. It's sad. But in Dia Prada, still business as usual. They're posting.
I mean, they're still in a tear. They got the recent editor-in-chief of Teen Vogue taken down over this past week.
That's crazy.
She, real quick, it was this black woman. She is a black woman. And when she was younger, made some very problematic statements about Asian people, and was really feeding into some tropes. And so she basically had just become the Teen Vogue editor-in-chief again. And people, of course, uncovered these tweets, as they always do. And so Dia Prada posted them, and Teen Vogue was trying to apologize, blah, blah, blah. But basically, she ended up stepping down this week. So I say that to say that, to your point, they're back to business as usual. Mm-hmm. They're definitely taking down racist people and brands one day at a time. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess we'll see what happens as this unfolds. I'm definitely curious to see if Dolce & Gabbana drops the case now that the world knows that they've brought it, and they're getting all this new kind of shitstorm built up around them for even bringing a lawsuit of this magnitude in Italy versus really two Instagram influencers.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I think that was a good summary of what we just talked about. Yeah. So we're going to do a teach you a lesson session. So I want to teach Dolce & Gabbana. I know you want to teach Dolce & Gabbana a lesson. My lesson for them, basically, I want them to have to wear Dior only until they've personally and genuinely apologized to every single person they've ever offended, hurt, or insulted.
There's not enough Dior in the world for that, truly. I am going to say, specifically, at least for Gabbana, you are not allowed to use utensils for 10 years.
Oh, I love that.
Sorry, that's bro. Great.
Between the two of us, they're going to be living the dream.
I might even say you can't eat with your hands. You just have to lick it straight off the plate.
Good.
Like the dog that he is.
That kind of brings me to my moral of the story. My advice is that if you're gay, just admit you're gay, especially when you're publicly with men.
I would say, well, my first one is don't say or do racist shit, which feels like it should be common sense, but apparently not these days.
I second that.
And then if you happen to and can't hide it, maybe don't sue other people for being racist.
Yeah, we can go on about how many pieces of advice we can give here.
Gabbana sucks.
Let's wrap it up with that. So thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Legally Judgy. We hope you enjoyed listening to us talk as much as we love the sound of our own voices.
If you did, please subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. Also, feel free to connect with us on our socials at Legally Judgy. Until next time.
Bye.